In the opening chapters of Luke's Gospel, we hear a lot of really dramatic language about what the coming Christ will mean. And even Mary, a teenage girl pregnant with God's Son, you know, her song that she sings in Luke doesn't really sound much like a lullaby, as she talks about the rich being sent away empty and proud people and kingdoms being overthrown. When John the Baptist comes, and he's getting ready to baptize Jesus, now an adult, his vision of what the Messiah's reign will look like is a fiery image of an axe breaking down branches and throwing them into the raging, consuming fire. Something big is about to happen. And then when Jesus is born, he is greeted with heavenly fanfare, yes, but then things go pretty much back to normal. Jesus has a pretty normal childhood, and you can go to the next slide. Oh, there we go, yeah. He has a pretty normal childhood, and even when he starts his adult ministry, it's good, but it's kind of quiet. Jesus goes around doing kingdom work. He heals the sick. He mends broken hearts, he restores broken minds, and it is a lifting up the humble, it is the feeding the hungry kind of ministry, and it is showing mercy to those who fear him. But it's not overthrowing strongholds or casting things into the fire, as John and Mary's vision led us to believe. And then we get to today's reading in Luke 21. The reading for the first Sunday in Advent. And suddenly, we're back at the beginning. Jesus is talking about signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth. There will be distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. Jesus talks about people passing out from fear. He talks about the powers of heaven being shaken, and then he says, "See, the Son of Man will come in a cloud with power and great glory." I think it's easy to latch on to this kind of dramatic stuff at the beginning or near the end of Luke's Gospel, and sometimes we want to make it the most important part of the story. And in fact, throughout history, there have been, in every generation, groups of Christians who look at the skies wondering whether the hordes of barbarians breaching the ramparts in Rome, whether that is the sign of the beginning of the end, or, if you remember about a decade ago, Y2K and Saddam Hussein, whether that was the sign of the end of the time. And goodness enough, there's enough distressing news in our world today that we could add our own worried list. In a sense, the skies will always be dark overhead to a certain degree, whether it's the news of the world or the news in our own lives. The point is, Jesus said elsewhere in his gospel, is that we don't know the time and the place, but we are meant to be a people who are ready. We are meant quietly to continue God's kingdom work, building in the ordinary ways that Jesus often calls us. So how do we live in a way that helps us to be ready? Well, the first is that we need to stay alert. And staying alert is hard. There's a lot there to distract us, whether it's the sheer busyness of just trying to get all the chores and work done each day, or the temptations of Netflix, or a good game of Minecraft, yes. Jesus told his disciples that it's really easy to lose our focus. So we need regular reminders, the kind of reminder that we heard today in our gospel reading. And so this says, stay alert, stay awake, pay attention. And that's what we do in some of our special seasons during the church year. They are meant to help us keep our focus on spiritual things. They are special seasons, knowing that we need these constant reminders to help us to stay awake and to stay alert. And so that's why we're providing resources for families in their home, why we've got those special prayers for your Advent wreaths to encourage each other to stay awake. The next thing that Scripture tells us we need to do is to find strength. Jesus says that we need to pray for strength. And Paul, in the reading that Chloe shared with us, he asks for the blessing of strength for the Christians in Thessalonica as they sought to live Christian lives. And so we look for strength because it's not easy to live a Christian life. And we find strength in the Christian disciplines that we do in our homes. But Paul says Christian brothers and sisters are a particularly important way that God encourages us and strengthens us. And I'd like to invite Michelle Smith. She's just going to share with you her own story of the strength that she finds in community in living her Christian life. Please join me.
Christ Church has been our extended family for as long as I can remember. The love and fellowship that is embodied within this church, for me, signifies what the universal church as the body of Jesus Christ is all about. The love and warmth that is extended to all who come through these open doors is expressed in the gift of hospitality that this church has been blessed with through the gift of the Holy Spirit. I am truly blessed to worship with all of you on Sunday morning. While I was going through my chemotherapy treatments, the prayer team prayed continually for me and my family, and I often received cards in the mail letting me know that my Christ Church family was always thinking about us. Through your prayers, the love and peace of God filled me with strength and courage, and as you continued to pray for me, this love and support is what helped me get through the tough times during my illness. Your faithfulness, deeds of love, and devotion to God have not gone unnoticed. For my daughter, Emily, absolutely loved the people in this church. When I could not attend church due to my illness, Emily would cry and say, "Please, please, Mom, drive me to church. Drop me off, and you can pick me up when the service is finished." I would say, "No, Emily, you can't go. There is no one there to watch you and to make sure you behave yourself." Emily would reply, "Yes, there is, Mom. I can sit with Pat, or Sarah's family, or Lydia's family, Mark and Temmie, or anyone. They are my family. They will take care of me until you can pick me up." We love the closeness and family atmosphere that vibrates throughout this church. We recently moved to Bowmanville, and Emily's first question was not, "Mom, will I like my school? Or will I have lots of new friends? Or will I like my teacher?" But, "Mom, we will still go to Christ Church. We are not going to leave and attend another church." I reassured her that, yes, unfortunately, the people at Christ Church are stuck with us, and I cannot see myself in another church, even though we don't know what the future holds. For now, this is our home. Words cannot express how I feel when I see the youth of this church sit together on a Sunday morning, worshiping in their own way, and to see them participating in the 11:15 service. This is what the body of Christ is all about. Everyone giving glory and praise to God the Father. And in coming together, we worship as a unified church in God's presence with and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Both Emily and I feel truly blessed to worship with you, our Christ Church family, on Sunday morning. I pray that we will all continue to grow in the love and grace of God, and that this church, as its name implies, will be in Christ. God has sent us a wonderful pastor, a faithful associate priest, and a devoted deacon who will help us move forward and seek his will in future endeavors. My Christ Church family, the love and presence of God is evident and vibrates within this place. For as our Savior has promised, when two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be too.
Thank you, Michelle. As we await Christ's coming, how do we live? We stay alert, and we find strength where strength can be found, and one important place where God gives us strength and encouragement is from our brothers and sisters in Christ, as we encourage one another in our walk with Jesus. And so I put on the Lord's table because this is the table that we gather around each Sunday as a family. That reminder that we find strength where God offers us strength and encouragement. And one of those places is in our community, the church community. Another thing Scripture encourages us to do to help us live as faithful disciples is to pray. So prayer is the place where we find strength and encouragement for ourselves, and it's also about asking. Jesus and Paul tell believers to ask for God's strength to live good lives, and so we pray for each other. But because Jesus is Lord, we also pray and ask God to act in the world around us. When we pray for those who are fainting from fear or pain in their own lives, whether it's because of sickness or the death of a loved one or struggles in our society, you know, 1 in 5 children in Oshawa live below the poverty line. We pray for the needs of people who are fainting from fear or who are struggling. And then we pray about the distresses among the nations. The news has been, it's been a hard fall with lots of difficult news. And one of the things that we do is we pray for the distresses among the nations. And that's what we're going to do right now. I would just ask if you could mention aloud items that are causing distress among the nations, and I'm going to pray for them. What's that, Ron? Paris, yeah, the people of Paris. Syria and the refugees. Climate change, yeah. Barb? Change of heart. Vladimir Putin. Okay. All right, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Loving God, we come before you this morning as your people, and we've come before you quietening our hearts to ask and lift before you the needs in our world. We see so many distressing things in the world these days. We pray, Father, for the people of Paris, especially those who had loved ones killed in the attacks there. We pray that you would raise friends and family member and the community to surround them so that they may know your comfort in the midst of their grief. We pray, Father, for Syria, for a nation that is torn asunder and where there is so much suffering. We pray for all those who are fleeing for their lives. We pray for open doors and open hearts. For our own country, we pray for those who are welcoming refugees into communities this coming December. And we pray for the strength and ability and wisdom for those people as they seek to welcome people who are traumatized and whose needs are very basic. We pray for peace in your world. Father, we give thanks for your creation. We give thanks for the beauty of our world and for the changing seasons. And we lift up our worries about climate change. Help us, Father, to be agents of change in our own communities as we seek to be wise stewards in our use of your creation. We pray for the upcoming summit, for wisdom for the leaders as they seek to find good and wise ways to respond to this crisis. Father, we pray for the leaders of the world. We pray for a change of heart for Putin. And we pray for wisdom and skill for all our leaders here in Canada, from all the parties, all the MPs, and for our local government. All these things we pray with hope in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember a Sudanese brother in Christ who said, after we pray, we get off our knees and then we act in the direction of our prayers. And so that's the last thing that Scripture invites us to do. We stay alert, we find strength, we pray, and then we act in the direction of our prayers. So this is to remind us of Jesus, who was a servant when he washed the feet of his disciples. We act in the direction of our prayers by acting in the loving, kingdom-building ways of God. So we pray for peace, and then we act like peacemakers in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our places of work. We pray for provision for help for refugees, and then we act as those who provide by offering a gift of help to an organization working with refugees or by getting involved in some way. We pray for God to sustain a friend who's going through a crisis. They're going through cancer treatment. And then we pick up our pen and we act in the direction of our prayers and we write that friend a note of encouragement to sustain them as they go through this crisis. Martin Luther, the great reformer, once said, "Even if I knew tomorrow that the world would fall to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree." We continuously act in the ways of the kingdom. We follow the way of our King, who himself was servant of all. And so just a final review. How do we live as we wait for the coming of Christ? Is there a final slide? There is. We stay alert. We find strength. We pray. And we act in the ways of the kingdom. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you for this holy season of Advent and for this reminder that it serves in our lives to stay alert and to make our lives ready for your Son, Jesus. Help us, Father, to stay awake. It's so hard to do this, especially in a busy season like this, and to pay attention to spiritual realities around us. Help us to find strength from one another and encouragement in our walk with you. Help us to pray, to lift up the needs in our world around us, and then, Father, by your Holy Spirit, enable to act in the direction of our prayers. All these things we pray with grateful hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.